I'm Mindy Todd. Welcome to The Point. Today, our series of debates continues with the candidates running for Barnstable County Commissioner. There are four candidates vying for two seats. Ron Beatty, a Republican candidate from Barnstable. Linda Bond, a Republican candidate from Yarmouth. Mary Pat Flynn, Democratic candidate from Falmouth. And Mark Forrest, Democratic candidate also from Yarmouth. And we have found that Mr. Beatty cannot be with us this morning. He sent an email this morning. Mindy, with no disrespect intended, please be advised that I have decided not to participate in your candidates' forum debate on The Point this morning. With that in mind, perhaps you will be able to allow a bit more time for the other participants to express their respective positions and answers to questions. Additionally, hopefully nobody will be forced to double park or park illegally at the site as well. After taking care of some urgent matters this morning, I plan to do canvassing in the Orleans area instead. Thank you. Best regards, Ron Beatty, senior Republican nominee for Barnstable County Commissioner. So with that, I will change our format this morning. Instead of a minute, I'll give you up to a minute 30 to answer questions, 30 seconds for rebuttal. So if you need a rebuttal, just let me know. And also up to 2 minutes for closing statements. So good morning to you, Linda Bond, Mary Pat Flynn, Mark Forrest. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Linda, we'll start with you. Can you tell us the role of the county commission, its purpose?
The role of the county commissioner is we oversee a budget that oversees a lot of different programs that helps everybody here in the Cape, all the 15 towns. So that is our major role, is to make sure that those budgets are balanced so that those programs will stay here in the Cape. We also hire and fire our county's administrator, and we also hire and fire the director of the Cape Cod Commission. So those are our really main responsibilities that we oversee. And so as I take, if I am the one to get elected for this position, that is what I will be doing. I will be balancing the budget and overseeing all those great programs that are helping everybody here in the Cape.
Mary Pat Flynn, same question.
I absolutely agree with what Linda said. The position is an executive position. So, if the commissioners are the have the executive role in the county. And then we hire the county administrator to do the work that is part of his job description, but also anything that we may assign him to do, something that might come up that was unexpected that he would follow up on if it's in his role. But our job, I think, is pretty exciting because we can actually form the county to some of our goals and areas of running the government that we think would be most beneficial to the towns. And I think that's the best part about being an executive, is be able to have that opportunity to move things and change things and take up anything new that just might come along that was unanticipated.
Thank you. Mark Forrest.
Well, I would agree with all the other statements. When you look at the departments that the county commissioners oversee, you've got the Registry of Deeds, you've got Cooperative Extension, you've got the Cape Cod Commission, there's a County Health and Environmental Department, and when you look at the work that goes on in each of these departments, it's quite impressive. The work of the Cape Cod Commission, I think, is generally well known. Their principal goal is to sort of oversee land use and development on the Cape and review projects that have regional impacts or impacts that go beyond municipal borders. And I think for the county commissioners, when you look at the charge that the legislature gave county government on Cape Cod, it really is focused on helping address and provide leadership on issues that transcend municipal boundaries. That is, the issues that really are difficult or beyond the capacity of one individual town to address. So when we're talking about economic development, transportation, water quality, and related issues, I mean, that's really the purview of county government. And that's why here on Cape Cod, county government has a role, whereas in many other places in Massachusetts, county government has more or less gone out of business.
Thank you. Mary Pat Flynn, we're going to start with you this time. So for our listeners who are not familiar with your backgrounds, tell us why. I know you are a commissioner at this time, but tell us why you think you're the best candidate for one of these two seats.
That's kind of a slogan, I guess you would call it, that I use when I am running for office is that I make government work. And the whole idea behind that is I really like government. And I think it can work for the people. And that they are my most interested objective is to be able to to respond to the needs of the people and to listen to what their concerns are and to find ways to make the situation a lot better. So that's why I really run. And I enjoy working with people. I've worked with people my whole life when I was in nursing, took care of a lot of people. And I think it's just the idea that you want to make government work for the people. And the only way to do that is to engage the people in the process. And so that's where I come from.
Thank you. Mark Forrest.
Well, in terms of my background, I have a master's degree in public administration, and my career focus has been municipal government. I started my career in Provincetown in the town manager's office there, working on helping manage the town, balance the budget. When I went there, we had a very serious financial problem, and part of my role was to sort of turn that around, get the town's finances in much better shape. I also worked on some of the big issues facing the community, particularly Provincetown. Our infrastructure literally was sort of falling apart. We needed to rebuild McMillan Pier, which is the home of the whale watch industry, fishing industry in Provincetown. I worked on developing improvements to the water system in the community. And I worked on dealing with a major groundwater contamination problem affecting our principal water supplies. We literally had to shut down a major well field in town and develop emergency water supplies. And while I was there, I could see how pollution actually affects the economy of the community, because we would get calls from all over the country. People weren't coming. They heard that there was a major pollution problem, and they were going to leave us. And then over the years, in terms of my work with the two congressmen, Congressman Studs and Delahunt, I mean, I spent a lot of time working on some of the big issues here on the Cape. So, I mean, that's some of the background and the skills that I bring to this particular job.
Thank you, Linda Bond.
Yes, again, thank you for having me today. And my background is in management. I was a restaurant manager for 30 plus years, and anybody out there that's owned and runs a business knows how hard it is. And you really have to make sure that you're never spending more than you take in to keep your bottom line where you need to have it. And that's what I feel the county needs, is somebody like myself that has a strong management background. I don't look at it as politics. I look at it as a managerial position. Again, you're overseeing all these great programs that Mark just listed a little while ago. And I feel that my management background in balancing budgets through the restaurant business would be a great asset. I also feel that working with the people I've worked with in the restaurant business, between all my vendors, my employees, and the customers, I'm a real good people person, and I'm able to get a problem solved when one comes up. So that's where I feel that I would be really asset to the county, is my people skills, and that I feel my managerial and people skills would make great decisions with all our problems. We have a lot of issues here in the Cape, and I'm coming in with new and fresh. That's what I'm running on, because I'm not a politician. It's the first time running for something. And again, I think my new and fresh approach to all these problems would be really a benefit to our county.
Thank you. I'm Mark Forrest. We start with you this time. Water quality is a big issue for the county. We have several instances of pollution cleanup efforts, from leakage from landfills, the fire training academy, the cleanup at the military base. Who should be responsible for paying this cleanup?
Well, the cleanup at the Fire Training Academy is clearly a principal responsibility for the county, and the county's working on that. I mean, there are negotiations and discussions taking place between the town and the county to address that. I'm not privy to that, but everything that I hear is encouraging. I also think that some of the groundwater contamination issues there should really serve as sort of a wake-up call, because PFC, some of the contaminants that we're finding in that area are contaminants that we find in other parts of Cape Cod, as well as other parts of the country. I'd like to see the county get more involved in the lawsuit, the litigation that is happening nationally with some of the major companies that have been developing this pollution or have created it and have since taken it off the market. I'd also like to think that we can work with some of the mid-Cape towns, particularly Barnstable, in helping them develop a long-range water supply plan. Because this isn't the only area where our water supplies are compromised. There are a host of other areas as well. So we've got a wake-up call here, and it's a Cape-wide issue, and we need to, like I said, become more of a partner with our towns and helping address long-term how we adequately protect our watersheds and water supplies. So much of the focus in recent years has been on nutrient pollution, but we have other sources of contamination in even what we call emerging contaminants that we really need to keep an eye on. The regulatory process at the federal and state level is a slow process. So by the time we get real advisories and information on some of these contaminants, you know, we'd end up living with them for many, many years.
Thank you. Linda Bond, same question.
Yes, it definitely is a problem down at the Mary Dunn Wells. And our new administrator, Jack Units, has taken this firsthand. And he's been bringing in a lot of other, they're looking into different possibilities of contamination. So they're still kind of out on the fence as to really who is responsible for it. I know the county's certainly going to take the bigger hit on the financial part, and that's the thing that they're working out. I'm sorry that it had to go into the legality point that it's at right now, because we're spending a lot of money on lawyers where we really shouldn't have to. And my question is really is why it took this long to get to this point. I mean, it's been, the contamination's been going on a long time down at the Mary Dunn Well. So I really wish that they had taken a sooner step in this cleanup instead of having it come this far. We're now, like I said, we're spending lawyers and trying to work it out with the town of Barnstable. So I feel it should have been taken care of a long time ago, not have come to this point. Another thing with the water quality, right here in Falmouth, you have the prorogation farms with the bivalves, which has been really successful from what I'm hearing. I know that Sheriff Cummings talked about it, and it's been a great thing here to reduce all our nitrates and everything in the water. So I feel that that's one step that we can go down, and I'm happy and I would like to stand behind these innovative ideas to clean our water up.
Thank you. Mary Pat Flynn.
Well, it's certainly clear that having a safe drinking water supply and then being able to handle all the wastewater issues are foremost in the minds of, I think, every town on the Cape and also with the county. I know Falmouth has taken a lead on its own to by building a safe drinking water facility, clean drinking water facility here in town. And that's expected to come online next spring, which means that all the water that comes from the wells, including the water that we buy from the base, which is about 1 million gallons a day in the summertime, all of that water will go directly through the plant before it's distributed to the homeowners. So I think, and that plant costs about $39 million. So that's a huge investment. And we're only one town. So I think the issue is totally Cape-wide. At the Fire Training Academy, that's true. There was PFOS found, which is a toxin of emerging concern. But it's not only there, it's everywhere. And I went to the Silent Spring seminar that they had about 2 weeks ago in Barnstable, and it's everywhere. It's all over the United States. So it isn't just here. So I think the responsibility certainly lies with whoever owns the well, as the county does own the Mary Dunn Well. But it also is the responsibility of the town, the state, and the federal government. And I think the only way we'll ever be able to clean up with the wastewater and ensure that we have safe drinking water for our citizens is for all of those government entities to work together.
We are talking with the candidates running for Barnstable County Commissioner. We'll talk more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. We are talking with the candidates running for Barnstable County Commissioner. Joining us this morning, Linda Bond, Mary Pat Flynn, and Mark Forrest. 866-999-4626 is our toll-free number if you'd like to pose a question to the candidates. 866-999-4626, or you can send us an email, thepoint@capeandislands.org. Linda Bond, your turn to go first. Towns seem to be at different stages when it comes to managing wastewater. Do you think the town should be working on this issue regionally or going it alone, town by town?
I definitely think it should be town by town. And I know right now our new administrator, Jack Units, has been getting together with all the selectmen in each town and going over these particular issues. And I think if we do get together with a coalition of towns, because each town has a different problem, closer down towards Truro in Provincetown, they have a much different situation because of how narrow the land gets there. So I do think it would be better if we do work all together as a coalition and really come up with some ideas and work together and financially work together between the towns and what the county can also add in there on the finance part. So I am totally in agreement of us trying to work together as a unit.
Thank you, Mary Pat Flynn.
I think we surely have to work together. It's been about 3 or 4 months now since the Cape Cod Commission held the last 208 wastewater plan for all of the selectmen on the Cape. And I recall with many, many selectmen there from all of the towns talking about how do we go about this, what is the future. And I think it was recommended to us that we develop plans based on the estuaries because where those estuaries are, they are shared by towns. Like, for instance, Falmouth only shares one, well, they share one estuary with Mashpee, which is Wacoit Bay. And then we share a pond, I think, between Falmouth and Bourne. But for the towns who share estuaries to work together and find the funding and clean up those estuaries probably would be the most successful way to make that happen.
Thank you. Mark Forrest.
This is definitely an area where some form of regionalism is necessary. Look at Wacoit Bay. I'm going to pick up on what Pat talked about. Wacoit Bay. The watershed that contributes into Wacoit Bay is an area that is within the municipal boundaries of Sandwich, Mashpee, Falmouth. All right. So if we want to clean up Wacoit Bay, we need those three communities heavily involved in participating in adopting measures within their respective comprehensive wastewater management plans, adopting measures that can reduce nutrients, nitrogen from going into that system. All right. And it's like that all throughout the Cape. So it's a watershed-based approach in terms of dealing with nitrogen loading. And that involves having to bring together the communities that are contributing to the problem, bringing them together to figure out ways to work together to solve the problem. So in that respect, when we're talking about this subject, it's clearly a regional or sub-regional approach that's going to be needed to tackle it and solve it.
Thank you. Mary Pat Flynn, we start with you this time. Do you think the county needs reform in its structure? There were a couple of proposals in the assembly that were withdrawn, one that would eliminate the assembly in favor of 5 commissioners, one that would eliminate the county commissioners, but putting their duties with the 15 members of the assembly. So do we need reform to the structure? And if so, what do you think that reform should be?
Well, I do support the efforts to restructure the county because I think we have two bodies. We have the executive body, which are the commissioners, and the legislative body, which are the assembly. But actually, that totals to 18 people, which is a lot of people to be involved in the government. I think it could work a lot better with some of the proposals that have been made. For instance, increasing the number of commissioners to 5 or 7. I think 7 would be the maximum, and have them elected regionally. And function more like some other counties around the country. I think it functions, but it doesn't function as well as it could. I think a restructuring would be really helpful. And I support the assembly in their efforts. And I like the idea of having more commissioners. You know, 3 is kind of difficult. If any of us, well, we've all had friends as we grow up, and sometimes there are only 3, and one person is usually on the outs for some reason or another. And that doesn't really happen. But to have 3 people agree and try to come to consensus on major issues, especially, is sometimes pretty difficult. I think having the input of additional people is more helpful to a board of commissioners to have more than 3 members.
Thank you. Mark Forrest.
I support professionalizing county government and having a strong county administrator. The ideas of, the assembly has 2 proposals that are out there, and I'd like to at some point see them literally put either on the ballot as a non-binding referendum and to begin a public conversation about county government and where we go from here. But the reality is that a lot of folks just don't understand what county government does. So the conversation and the discussion within the public is going to be a difficult one to undertake. So I think we need to engage in a fairly extensive sort of public effort to explain and discuss and really help people better understand county government. I know the commissioners recently worked on a proposal to establish a county leadership academy of sorts to bring people in and help people better understand the day-to-day workings of the county, some of the big issues it's working on, and how some of the key departments are not only functioning, but what they're doing to address some of the pressing problems on the Cape. I think we need to get that proposal, work on it, implement it, and find a more effective way to get the public engaged and involved in what county government does. And I think as we do that, I think we'll be in a better position to actually have a really fairly open and realistic conversation about how to restructure it and how to improve it.
Thank you. Linda Bond.
My general feeling is it is the people that sit in the seats. And the structure, I think, is fine. I would certainly be open to other suggestions of changing it. I would be up for 5 commissioners, but I wouldn't want them to go to a full-time job because then I'm going to think of the money. Right now, all the 3 commissioners are part-time, and they just make under $15,000 a year, and all the assembly members make $1,000 a year. So the cost of having that branch of government to me is not a lot. Then we have our county administrator who we just hired and is doing a great job. So I think we're heading down the right path. And I think this next election, if we get new and fresh like myself in the seat and we take a little change in the seats, that we would see some progress moving in the right direction. I have had the endorsement of our Governor Charlie Baker and Lieutenant Karen Polito recently, and I feel I could work directly with them in helping us get our county where we need to be financially. And I think that the structure right now has been working fine. Again, I think of the money if we were to go to 5 or 7, if they were full-time, then we are increasing the cost of running the county. And again, we are unique down here, being the Cape and one of the last counties of Massachusetts. So I think the way it's structured can still work for Cape Cod.
Thank you. 866-999-4626 is our toll-free number if you have a question for the candidates. 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Mark Forrest, we start with you this time. What is the role of the county in the energy sector?
The county in the energy sector? Well, the county has played an important role in incubating the Cape Light Compact and providing some degree of support for the Cape and Vineyard Electric Cooperative. And the cooperative has been involved in the development side of renewable energy. The Cape Light Compact has basically been established to sort of provide local control over the funds that have been set aside for energy efficiency and conservation. And the way it's been set up right now is that each town has a representative on the Cape Light Compact to sort of participate and help shape how those resources are expended. I'd like to see the county sort of examine where we can promote even more conservation. I'm a big fan of solar energy. Over the past few years, solar energy as a form of renewable energy has taken off on the Cape. There are so many commercial establishments and homes that have been installing solar panels. And I'd like to think that on the regulatory side, one of the things that we can do is help facilitate the streamlining of the permitting in some of these projects. Find incentives. For example, Mashpee Commons, they did an incredible job. They expanded their rooftop solar program. So are there incentives and things that we can do at the county level to expedite the permitting of solar energy on commercial projects and in other residences? I know if you wanted to do solar, for example, on the north side of the Cape, where you're dealing with the historic district, that might become a little bit tricky. So maybe we can find a way to build consensus on how to streamline and permit projects in that part of the Cape as well.
Thank you. Linda Bond.
Yes, one of the next big decisions that the next commissioner will be taking on is the Cape Light Compact, because they're not structured correctly to be a government program. They are running under the county's 04 number, which means if I was to go buy a car and use Mark Forrest's Social Security number to buy the car, and then something happens to me in that car, it's going to fall back on Mark Forrest because it's his Social Security number that I have now used. It's kind of the way the Compact Light Company has been working. They're using the county's number to run their program, to run their business. And what I'd like to see in the next commission is going to have to make the Compact Light become a county program under our jurisdiction, where we will hire and fire the director of that program, and that then all the employees that are county employees, they're county employees right now, we pay them, but then we get reimbursed. So we're really not overseeing these people. Say one of the employees did something in somebody's home and that there was a lawsuit, it would fall back on the county. So there's a big liability here in the way it's set up. So I feel that we really need to address that as soon as one of us gets in there as commissioner to make sure that we're really running that legally. So that would be my first and foremost project, would be to get that in order so that we're running up and on board with that.
Thank you, Mary Pat Flynn.
I think the Cape Light Compact has had huge benefits for the citizens of the Cape. And I think that was the goal and the intent of forming the compact in the first place. Linda raises the questions about their composition and their legal organization. And it's true, they are not; they do not have their own federal number, and their employees are employees of the county. That is all being looked at now by the lawyers from both sides and by both boards, by our board and the compact board. And we're resolving how we might be able to continue to have some oversight of the Cape Light Compact, but at the same time have a certain distance that doesn't make us obliged to whatever issues might occur. But I think in terms of energy, another area that they could work on, I think more, at least from what I see, is in the area of solar. I know some of the towns that have developed solar projects, like Mashpee, now, because I'm more familiar with the Upper Cape, and Falmouth has just built a major solar farm out at their wastewater treatment plant. But they really didn't collaborate with the compact on that. And I think maybe the compact could become far more engaged with the towns on the Cape and see where they can help the towns do more projects like that, because they are truly beneficial to the citizens of the towns.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit more in the energy. Let's talk specifically, we're mentioning solar, renewable energy. Linda Bond, let's start with you. What can the county be doing to promote more renewable energy in the towns?
Yeah, again, I am definitely for solar energy, which each town has been taking that upon themselves. So I would like to get behind that, and again, get behind that. The Cape's been forgotten about for so many years here financially, where we should have been getting a lot of monies to us. And I think now that the government up at Beacon Hill has been restructured with our new governor up there, I know a lot of more money is coming to the Cape for different programs that we are offering here. And I know they've come down here, both the governor and lieutenant governor, and looking into our energy problems down here. So I think I'd stand behind getting some more solar energy and finance for the we can continue with the solar farms that I see going up everywhere. You don't go to too many landfill dump sites and not see the big areas that they have all the solar panels. So that is the direction I certainly would like to see the county move in, and I would like to stand behind in getting the financial help for that.
Thank you, Mary Pat Flynn.
Well, I think it would be very beneficial for the county commissioners to meet with the board of the Cape Light Compact and also with their director and see how we might collaborate moving forward into the future in terms of energy. Just rather having them be out there on their own and the county knowing that we have concerns and we really represent all the people, that we should be working together and we shouldn't be working in silos. And I think an organizational structure, the kind that we have had with the Cape Light Compact, sort of enforces that. And I don't think that's probably the best thing. So as we move forward now with the compact in terms of their reorganization and their more separation from county and organizationally and legally, that we may be able to form some type of a joint effort to be able to further solar and other energy projects that are really beneficial to the towns going forward.
Mark Forrest.
I agree with Linda and Pat. The other area that I would want to put a lot of energy and attention into is this whole concept of grid modernization. All right. The utilities in Massachusetts have to submit plans to the Department of Public Utilities to show how they're proposing to modernize the grid, or that portion of the grid that they're responsible for operating and maintaining. And when you look at how the grid is structured, the grid plays a key role in whether or not it incentivizes renewable energy or not. and other European countries, for example, access to the grid for renewable energy is automatic. All right. So if you're a producer of renewable energy in some European countries, you automatically get access to the grid. And in some countries, there are premiums offered for the renewable energy that's being fed into the grid. So I think as we look at how we modernize the grid here and as these plans are being developed, as a county commissioner, I would want to play an active role in making sure that the grid modernization proposals that are being developed here on the Cape are ones that essentially benefit the consumers, are incredibly consumer friendly, but also very renewable energy friendly. The major utilities have not been huge allies of renewable energy, only to the extent that it benefits them or their finances. I think we need to use the grid as a way to shift the power balance here so that the consumer, the homeowner, the business owner has the opportunity to benefit substantially from grid modernization in a way that promotes renewable energy.
Thank you. Mary Pat Flynn, we start with you this time. How should the license plate money that comes to the county be spent?
Well, at the moment, the decision, or it's really more of a recommendation on how the money is spent, is with the Cape Cod Economic Development Council, and then they make their recommendations to the commissioners for their approval. The income has decreased somewhat over the years. I don't know whether that means that the Cape is saturated with Cape Cod license plates or not, but they are looking for ways to find another license plate that might be attractive, or maybe to use the Cape Cod license plate for commercial vehicles as well, that would be a way to increase revenue. So the revenue is an issue. It's anywhere between $30,000 and $40,000. And what they do is they use that money to award grants, and those grants have been pretty successful. So I think that we could perhaps make more suggestions to the EDC in areas that we see that maybe could use some public funds, and work with them and not just have them be the sole dispenser of the funds, but also some of their funds recently have been going to the Cape Cod Commission because of the 208 plan, and that's been enormously helpful, and that's just a short term dedication of funds to the commission to keep that project moving forward. When that ends, which I think will be this coming year, that's when we have to look at the best ways to utilize that money.
Thank you. Mark Forrest.
Yeah, I would very much support getting the economic the license plate funds out into the community for economic development. In recent years, it's come back to the county. A sizable chunk of it has to subsidize or underwrite some of the county operations. And the work that's being done is important work, don't get me wrong. But I think there's an expectation that money is supposed to be out in the community, and I think we need to respect that and honor that. But I also think that we need to look at how can we revitalize all of our economic development programs at the county level. Jobs are a big issue here, and I think we need to find ways to do a much better, more aggressive job in the area of job creation and identifying the areas where there's potential for job growth. The areas that I'm most interested in right now are in the clean water area, innovative new clean water, marine technologies. I think there are opportunities here on the Cape. We've got a cluster of companies here that are doing that. I think we can grow that. I think we can expand that. I think there are opportunities that come out of broadband expansion. The county's done a great job in at least building the information superhighway. Now we've got to build some of the off-ramps so that we can provide other economic opportunities to businesses and entrepreneurs here on the Cape. I also think we need to really focus on creating a much more entrepreneurial climate and helping create more building blocks to support small business and entrepreneurship. And I'd like to see these funds used in a very strategic way to support some of those initiatives.
Thank you. Linda Bond.
Yes, I do have to agree with both Mary and Mark. They do give a lot of the money to the grants, which has been a great program along the way. I wouldn't want to see that go a change at all. And I do want to see the money go to the 208 problem, because that is a big issue here, is our water quality. And I think that would show our residents of the Cape that the water, the money is used in the most wisest way. So that would really be with the direction I'd like to see that money go down. And like you were saying with jobs, too, if we get the watersheds and all our water things off the ground, we're going to be creating some more jobs in that area. So I definitely would like to see the monies getting used to benefit everybody in the Cape through the jobs and through the water control.
Thank you. We're talking with the candidates running for Barnstable County Commissioner. 866-999-4626 is our toll-free number if you have a question. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. We'll talk more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. It is our series of candidate debates continues this morning with the candidates running for Barnstable County Commissioner. Three of the four candidates are here: Linda Bond, Mary Pat Flynn, and Mark Forrest. Mark Forrest, we start with you this time. What would your plan be to mitigate impacts of climate change and specifically sea level rise?
Well, I think the first thing that we have to do is really, what I would say, is really focus on a vulnerability assessment, and that is where are the areas of the Cape that are most vulnerable. And, you know, the good thing is that county government has a number of people that are versed or capable of helping provide that guidance. We've started some of that work at the Cape Cod Commission, but I think we need to expand it. This is an area that will be affected by sea level rise. And clearly, when you look at the coastline, climate change has a significant impact here as well. So this is the issue sort of we don't talk about, but because we're so focused on clean water and a host of other more sort of issues that are right in front of us. But we need to start really getting our arms around this. I would begin by focusing on vulnerability assessments and beginning to look at the towns and identify the areas in their communities that are the most vulnerable, and to work with them to develop strategies on how we prepare, how we adapt, how we mitigate. You know, what are the things that we can do in each community and as a region? I also think that there's some almost no-brainers. Some communities are going to want to do more beach area shoreline protection or beach nourishment. So we're going to have to do some planning, particularly in some of our more sensitive ecosystems, about identifying where we can get some of that material to do that kind of work. So there's a lot of work to do there, and I think we got to get going on it right away.
Linda Bond.
Yeah, I think along the way, what we've been, as we work along our shorelines and deal with our water problem, it goes hand in foot with what we will be coming down the line with the rising seas and our climate changing. So I think the fact that we are working along our shorelines, one of our programs that we oversee is our AmeriCorps, and they have put in over 50,000 hours. And I believe that they would be the ones that would also be a part of finding good solutions and moving forward in initiative ways of, like you said, moving in more sand or shoring up our shorelines and trying to make sure that the erosion is, we can cut down on the erosion. So again, we're always working on our shorelines. That's being a peninsula here. That's our biggest problem and our biggest concern. And the county really steps right in there. You know, we have our water quality testing where we have our own labs and we test the water daily, and we're always up on our contaminants in the water. So we really are working right on the shoreline firsthand. So I think everything we're already doing is going to go hand in foot with the future and the climate change and the rising seas.
Thank you, Mary Pat Flynn.
Well, there's no question that sea level rise is here, and it's only going to increase. I think the county made a great decision in bringing on Shannon, I can never remember her last name, who's our floodplain specialist, and she works with the residents of the town, and directly, not really with the towns, but she does help towns. And I think the homeowners now who have that she has been in contact with in terms of their flood insurance have learned a great deal from her. I like the idea of utilizing AmeriCorps. I think that would be a great project for an AmeriCorps volunteers in a summer month to if we could put that project out to them. I also think we're blessed to have the Woodsole Research Center, especially right here in Falmouth. I remember several years ago at a meeting with them down on the Surf Drive Beach, and they were talking about the fact that that road would no longer be here in maybe 10 or 15 years, that's how quickly the sea level rise is happening, and where the sea would be up this up the road a piece if we didn't do something about it. So it's here, and we need to address it. Towns are doing it individually, but I think the county could also take a leadership role and work with the towns who are most vulnerable. Not every town has an issue with sea level rise.
Right, we are going to go to the phones now. We have a caller. Larry is giving us a call from East Ham. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
What is your question?
I apologize if you already talked about this. I tuned in a bit late, but I was wondering if the candidates could talk about the commission's role in assessing and responding to the problem of Pilgrim, which I think is a concern to me and many others out here as to the situation with that and closing it down. Rather than keeping it open until 2019.
Is your question then should it be closed sooner and concerns about safety? Is that your question, Larry? Did we lose Larry? Larry, I think Larry he was asking about the closure of the Pilgrim plant and not waiting till what is it? I forgot 20, when it was 20, what, I don't remember what year now it was that they're supposed to close, but there are a lot of folks who'd like to close it sooner because of safety concerns. Linda Bond, we start with
you. Yeah, I agree. It needs to be closed sooner. The sooner the better, because it takes 5 years for those coils and everything in there to cool down before they can even do anything with them. And then the problem is, where are they going and what are they going to do with them? So the sooner it gets closed down, the sooner we'll be able to start the cooling process and start the dismantling of the facility there. So I am all in favor of the sooner the better to get it moving and to get those out of there and dismantle it.
Right. Mary Pat Flynn.
I agree. Absolutely. The sooner the better. The plan, there is a plan for energy, and they should just move forward with it and put it on a fast track.
Mark Forrest.
Well, I agree with all that, but I'd also like to see if there's a way we can utilize county staff to help sort of monitor and provide some oversight on some of the planning work that's going on. I mean, the idea of having a nuclear waste dump just on the other side of the canal is, I think, something that's a bit frightening to me, and I know a lot of other folks here. And we are going to want to have our own people advise us on how adequate some of the planning is going forward. So plans for decommissioning, plans for dealing with the nuclear waste, a whole host of plans and submissions are going to be developed. And I think it would be helpful for us, since we really have learned from this whole exercise that, the federal government has let us down. The state government hasn't been nearly as helpful as it should be. So some of the expertise that exists in Washington and Boston has largely been, a failure. And I think where we need to step up is on our own, do our own independent and objective analysis of the work that's going on and make sure that our people are protected.
All right. Mary Pat Flynn, we're going to start with you this time. There has been some discussion about identifying zones throughout the county that would be best suited to 40B development rather than with 40B towns in each town. So is that plan something you would support?
I'd have to give it some more thought, but I don't think that segregating housing like that is such a good idea. I think there are other ways to do it, to integrate it within the community as a whole. I also think that there are homes, at least I know, of course, I know my town of Falmouth a lot better than the rest of the Cape, but I know there are homes here that are very large, and some have additional structures on their property that could be developed for affordable housing, or people who have large homes and can separate them off and have apartments or have an attached apartment that could be utilized for affordable housing. I would much prefer to see using what we already have and finding the best way to make those homes affordable rather than segregating it and building something new.
Thank you. Mark Forrest.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think this is something that I would certainly look at. But, I think when it comes to affordable housing, one of the biggest problems we have, and we really haven't talked about it much, is the lack of capacity to actually develop it. Here in Falmouth, we had a sort of a pioneer, Bob Murray, who was very active in developing affordable housing. And he revitalized the Housing Authority, and he developed this corporation here in Falmouth that has played an active role. In other communities, there are people who make it their mission, their passion to do this. And I think that capacity is something that we need to expand upon, because the development of almost anything on Cape Cod, let alone affordable housing, has become incredibly difficult. There are just layers of red tape, layers of bureaucracy, and we need to figure out ways to get it done. Some towns like Provincetown, for example, actually have someone working in town hall on this, helping at least navigate the internal process. So there's a lot that we can do in addition to that, looking at that, I think, to deal with
this. Thank you. Linda Bond.
Yeah, I think it is a town-to-town issue because every town is different in the geographical area. So I am all for getting some more affordable housing in here. I wouldn't be opposed to a building and something new. I like Mary Pat's idea about the other people's structures, and that maybe that we could get them to use them in that way. So I would really be for getting some more affordable housing down here. I think, again, that it's town by town, and as I've been campaigning, I've spoke to a lot of people that have been involved in trying to get affordable housing, and they get very frustrated because, of course, every town, when they hear the word affordable, their mind goes to something else. They're thinking they're bringing in some people that they might not want in their community, so it's a really tough thing. I think we need to get together with some of those people that are directly involved in this and get some ideas from them, and maybe we could all work together and get some solutions.
All right, thank you. We're going to go to closing comments. Mark Forrest, we start with you.
Well, first of all, Mindy, thanks for inviting us on, and I want to thank everybody that's listening in for tuning in this morning. I think it's this is sort of the last debate, the last forum on this campaign trail, and it's been an exciting journey. I really have enjoyed being able to at least talk about my campaign and bringing some of the new ideas and some of the leadership that I want to provide to county government. I've never held elective office before, but I've been involved in making things happen and working with elected officials over the course of my career. I started in Provincetown in local government. When you look at the challenges facing the county in terms of fiscal management and budget management, I think I have the skill set, having balanced budgets, having dealt with financing, to deal with some of the county's financial problems going forward. You know, in terms of the big picture issues, the kind of issues that we really expect and need county government to step up and lead on, things like water quality, economic development, transportation, a whole range of big issues, I think over the years that I've shown through my work that I've, you know, I have a track record of success there. And so over the course of this campaign, I've been able to get endorsements from our local officials, selectmen, and local leaders from around the Cape. I'm very proud of that support, but really what's most important to me is the endorsement of you, the voter, and I ask for your vote on November 8th.
Thank you, Linda Bond.
Yes, Mindy, again, thank you for having us here. And it is a bittersweet thing coming to the end of our campaign. It's been an exciting road for me, too. I've never run for anything else, and it's just been great meeting everybody out there. So I thank all of you who have spent the time talking with me. I feel I'm the right candidate for this position because I am a manager. I've never been a politician. I think that I could bring my new and fresh ideas to the county and that I would be an asset to the government. So I would think my managerial experience in the restaurant business of balancing budgets and making sure that everything balances from zero budgeting is what the county needs. So I would be honored to have your votes, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Mary Pat Flynn.
Thank you again, Mindy, for having us here today. I look forward to another term as county commissioner. I think what I have brought to the position and what I will continue to bring is a great deal of experience, municipal experience particularly, and also many years of working in the private sector as a human resources director. And I think my municipal experience really is so valuable because what the commissioner's goal is to really help the towns do things differently, maybe be more collaborative in achieving some of their goals. And I think having that experience gives me the satisfaction and the impetus to move forward with that. So I'm very much looking forward to another term, and I would appreciate everyone's vote on November 8th.
Thank you, Linda Bond, Mary Pat Flynn, Mark Forrest. Thank you all for being here this morning. I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.
The Point is produced by Amy Vince. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Production assistance from Jenny Junker. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter.